Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome in on this Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are, in your car, at home, at work. We appreciate you, JJ and Alex. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen with you as always. Alex Keery still out. Mitch Harper in. KSLSports.com. BYU insider. You see him everywhere. If you follow BYU football, you follow Mitch. He needs no introduction. Mitch, let's have some fun today.
Let's have a blast. I'm looking forward to being in the studio with you, JJ, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We got a loaded show, as always.
It's brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. And we all need a boost on a Tuesday. Before we get into it, Tuesdays. Is that the most unspectacular day of the week?
No question.
Does anybody look forward to Tuesday?
No. No one looks forward to Tuesdays.
If you have Wednesday off.
That's it? I mean, there's no great holidays on a Tuesday, right? At least Thursday has Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, you know, maybe coming up on the sports calendar when we got NBA playoffs. That's the only time I look forward to maybe a Tuesday, but that's reaching. We're not talking NBA playoffs for the Jazz right now. So.
No, we don't have that to look forward to, so we're not going to be watching that on a Tuesday. Yeah. We can watch the NBA playoffs on a Tuesday. I guess that's something.
But
traditionally on a Tuesday, we're not guaranteed that great kind of
golf
on
doesn't
a
happen on a Tuesday. It's Thursday.
The Masters
Sunday.
Starts on Thursday, right? Yeah. On Tuesdays, it's like, I can't wait to go to work. I can't wait to go take a test.
Just getting into the guts of the week. Like, still got 3 days till Friday.
I can't wait to go to the dentist. No offense to you, dentists out there. We love you, but we don't love to see you that often. It's not something I look forward to on a Tuesday.
Nope.
Come on, Tuesday, do better. We got to figure out a way to make Tuesday better. You know what? We're going to try to make Tuesday better here.
LeBron
today
tried to, Mitch, right?
On JJ and Alex. Yeah. A lot of things going on, Mitch, as you mentioned. The Masters, it's Masters week. We've got Bob Casper coming up at 3:30. Real Golf Radio, Bob Casper. Nobody knows golf like Bob. I love talking to him, especially on Masters week, so we look forward to that. We've got some giveaways. We're giving away, we have that qualifier for the UN Golf giveaway for that driver. I keep going down the line here. We got all kinds of stuff for the Coyotes coming to Utah. It's gaining more steam. Choo-choo. It really is.
It is. Feels like it's getting very close with the Coyotes here coming to Utah.
Love that. An early Big 12 hoops look ahead now that the college basketball season's over. And, of course, the Jazz. Tim McComb will join the show at 5 o'clock. And then at 5:30, as always, the NFL Blitz. We'll also be giving away Jazz tickets throughout the show today. But let's get things started with the cut, and it's last night's national championship game.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
75-60, UConn by 15. 6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60, the final. The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
As you said, only three teams in the last 50 years have won back-to-back NCAA tournament titles. Last night was the first time since the 2006-2007 Florida Gators had a nice run under Billy Donovan, Joakim Noah, several others on that team. This is historic what we saw last night. Is the energy and excitement about it meeting the history?
It's not. And
why is that?
UConn's team is an all-timer. You know, you think about how this tournament, typically we talk about the NCAA tournament being survive and advance. They rolled through 12 games the past 2 years, They've been beating their opponents by an average of 13 points. All the wins have been by double figures, and once again against a Purdue team that was stacked, that ran through the Big Ten, one of the best leagues in college basketball, and really just handled them in that second half. I mean, going into the break, it felt like, okay, Purdue's got a shot here, but UConn was always in control. This is one of the great teams in college basketball, and it's just remarkable, too, how UConn, six titles in 25 years. They have been dominant in college basketball. They don't go to the dance every year, but, man, when they get in there, they always make a run. And, yeah, I don't feel like people truly realize how significant and how historic this team and this kind of run is, because it almost feels like people are just desensitized by college sports now, and they just say, well, it's great, they want it back-to-back, but they're going to all leave for the portal. They're all going to ask for some great NIL deal now. They're not going to be part of it. But, no, this is an amazing, historic group, and they really should be viewed as one of the all-time great teams and programs in college basketball now.
The Florida teams were good that won back-to-back titles, and they certainly was a special run, but they didn't quite match statistically what UConn has done over the last 2 years. UConn's average margin of victory in NCAA tournament games over the last 2 years, that's 12 games, won them all, 12-0, is 21 points.
Yeah.
Average margin of victory. They have not had a game, or no team has come within 13 points of them in the last 2 years. All their wins, 12-0, in the last two tournaments, they won by all the games, 13 points or more. Nobody was even close. Now, Alabama gave them a good, entertaining game. I was impressed by Alabama, and if you're Alabama, you got to feel like we are not far away. Obviously, you mentioned the title windows in college basketball are worse than the NBA right now because of the transfer portal. But this was an unbelievable historic run, and I don't think you could go out on the street and have anybody on the street name one player on that team.
Yeah, no one could.
Or the coach.
Yeah. No one's mentioning Kling Kong, Klingon.
Nobody outside of stores
no.
cares.
Yeah.
That's a problem for men's college basketball. And in light of what we saw, or in the shadow of what we saw with women's college basketball, where it's been the complete opposite. Caitlin Clark's on every TV advertisement. Angel Reese is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Endorsements galore. Star power. Coaches we know the names of, doing interviews everywhere. It's crazy that college basketball isn't getting the same kind of attention, but it's clear it's not. The women have won the battle. Not that it was a battle, but they've won the interest war. Like, people have totally were interested in the women's game, and the numbers prove it. How many? 17.3 million people watched the women's game. We don't have the numbers yet out for last night's game. They're not going to come close.
No.
So college basketball, men's college basketball, I should be more specific, has an issue here. While the game is good, I watched the game last night. It was a really well-played game. Zach Edey had an unbelievable game. His 30th double-double of the season, 37 points, 10 rebounds, a couple of blocks. But there's an unfamiliarity with these players, and that matters. The women's game, Caitlin Clark, we've watched her play now for multiple years. Paige Beckers has been around. Angel Reese has been around. I keep going down the list of these recognizable women stars in the game. We have breaking news.
Oh, let me hit it here. Hold on, guys.
Breaking news. The ratings are in.
Our TV ratings desk over here.
Okay. How well did the NCAA men's
do? You guys
want to
guess first, or do you want me to tell you?
I'm going to go 10.
I'll go
10 million.
12.5.
Mitch is closer, 14.82.
That's not bad.
It's pretty good, yeah.
That's not bad at all.
And that was on, what, TNT? TBS?
TBS, yeah. TBS cable. No, it was over the air.
It was on both TNT and TBS.
Why do you have to put it on three channels, A? And then B, why does CBS not put that on?
I've never understood that.
What are they doing?
Yeah, that's always been the weirdest
thing.
Too.
You put it on CBS on a Monday night, and then you pitch the Masters all throughout the game.
Yeah.
Who's running the show over there? Put the national championship game back on CBS. It doesn't make sense.
And also, too, that's It's actually a better number than I was thinking because you think 9:30 Eastern time.
It was a later start.
Late start. That's actually not a bad number.
It's not bad at all. That was better than I thought. Like I said, I thought I would get 10. It did pretty darn good. That's good to see because the game does need that. But I do think, and this isn't a massive issue that I'm bringing up, Mitch. It's just apparent to me that while the NIL and transfer portal are awesome, and I support it 100%, these players need to be able to capitalize on these schools capitalizing on them. And the transfer portal allows these players to go where they want. And it actually, no one brings this up, but the transfer portal is coach accountability. Because there was a long time where these coaches were just almost downright abusive to these players. And they were locked in on a four-year scholarship and they couldn't go anywhere.
Or you say, you know, I'll let you transfer if you go to these four schools. Or
you can't go to that school. You can't transfer in conference.
That's why we got the portal. So when these coaches do complain about the portal, I go, well, maybe back in 2014, you should have just let those guys go to any school you wanted.
Well,
anyway,
you shouldn't have treated the players the way you did either. Because now the players, like, if I'm not happy. And all of us, if we have a job and there's a boss that is like just rude and mean and then things aren't going well, we want to have the freedom to go work at another place. Yeah. Stop acting like we have to treat these kids differently. But that's not what I want to get to. That's not the topic here. I'm going to flip this on the other side. It's like NIL and transfer portal are great, but we don't know these guys. And by the time we do get to know them, they've moved on. Like DJ Burns of NC State. That was a great run NC State had, but it was a 9-game flash in the pan. And DJ Burns is moving on. NC State, I don't know what they're going to be next year. The one-and-done thing, I think, hurt college basketball for a long time because you'd have these mega stars. You know, Kentucky, for instance, had 36 first-round picks in the last 15 years under Coach John Calipari, but they were gone. And the college game didn't get to capitalize on what could have been. But now things have flipped where NIL now exists, where these players are incentivized to come to school for 2 or 3 years. But when they do so, they're not staying in that place. They're bouncing around to the next best place. Where can I get the next paycheck? And all of a sudden, a player that you liked or enjoyed on your team is gone. I think all the schools, look at Utah State right now. Yeah. You have one incredible year. Think of the momentum that Utah State basketball could have if Danny Sprinkle and an entire group could run it back. Because they didn't have a lot of seniors. Darius Brown was a senior. They could have brought everybody back. So if you could run a group like that back with the same head coach, you're building something special that people here are going to absolutely latch onto. Even people that aren't diehard, that aren't Utah State alumni or even diehard Aggie fans be like, I love this team. This is fun. I want to watch them. Coach leaves. Players in the transfer portal. Start from square one.
New head coach,
new players.
It's a good point because that's why, honestly, I feel like for college basketball and college football to some extent, football just always will be popular no matter what. But for basketball, I feel like you'd be better off just having these players be employees. And then you say, the school says, okay, he's locked in, 2-3-4 year deal, and he's under contract until then. And then you can maybe have that potential to actually feel like you know these guys and actually believe that, you know, these guys are going to build something. You know, it used to be you'd have these big boards in these programs where they'd forecast, okay, this is what my starting lineup's going to look like in 2025, 2026. That's not a thing anymore. You know, you still kind of maintain what it maybe could look like, but now it's truly year by year. You know, BYU's a team that could be a preseason top 25 team next year, but, you know, if they have some player movement or some coaches, if Mark Pope goes, you know, you could be a completely different look, and everything you knew about this year's group that was, you know, top five in the Big 12, well, that could go out the window, and you go, what's next, you know, in the new 16-team Big 12? So I feel like if to fix this and maybe have some consistency and get to know who these players are with these schools, I almost feel like the revenue sharing and getting these guys to employees would probably be the route. Now, I know these schools don't want that to happen ever, and they never, because then it just kills the amateur model completely. And then we're talking about, well, why cap it at 4 years? Why not have, you know, Caitlin Clark or DJ Burns play for 15 years in college, and you're getting guys like me that are middle aged still playing college rack? No one needs that.
No,
we don't need that. We need some sort of semblance of college basketball. But I do think that if it did stay within that 4 year window, that might be naive, but I think that could help the cause to maybe say, okay, we're gonna now invest, because it is hard on the fan to say,
well, they're just going to leave in this portal. And, you know, I always think back to like the days when Rick Majerus would be coaching at Utah and he'd get like a few transfers and it would blow everyone's mind. Like, how did they lose this guy? Nowadays, it's just like, oh, that guy left. What else is new? They all leave. That's just, it's wild to see how college basketball, the movement that happens in this sport, it's never slowing down. And I wish I had the answer to fix it, to see how it slows down, because I would like to see, you know, having individual brands elevate programs can be a powerful thing. And we saw that in the women's game.
You saw in the women's game. I'm going to throw out some examples here in the market where certain players who played 2, 3, 4 years at schools here locally elevated their status in our community. Sam Merrill at Utah State.
Yes.
Jim Erford at BYU.
No question.
J.C. Carroll at Utah State. Andrew Bogut at Utah. Mm-hmm. Keith Van Horn at Utah. Andre Miller at Utah.
It's great point. Great
you
list.
See what I'm saying here? These
Legends.
Players didn't come in for 6 months and leave.
Yeah.
Name one player in this market that played here for 6 months and had a massive impact where the community still talks about them and raves about them. There's flash in the pan, I guess, guys. I mean, that's the sad thing about what happened to Utah State this year is that team was the first team to win an NCAA tournament game at Utah State in 23 years. And if they rolled it back, next year they could have become the first team at Utah State to make a Sweet 16 since 1970. I truly believe that. That's a legacy. But you're missing the opportunity to build that and to create something that's lasting and will be remembered forever. That used to be what was great about sports is legends. Who are going to be the legends 20 years from now about today? We're not going to remember them. That's why I think the women's tournament, that's what they captured, is there were actual true legends playing in there because they had legacies, because they stayed and played for 2 or 3 or 4 years and established that. A Caitlin Clark isn't built overnight. That takes time. A Jimmer Fredette wasn't built overnight.
You can even say last night, Zach Edey, to his credit. I mean, Purdue getting back to that stage, they overcame a little bit of adversity, and they were a story because they lost to a 16 seed and fought adversity and
what
faced
if he was,
it first
What
down.
If he was one and done?
Yeah.
What if he had hit the transfer portal?
Yeah. No, he would have been an afterthought. Like, no one would have talked about him and just been another guy that moved on.
Now Zach Edey is a two-time National Player of the Year. And he took Purdue to the first Final Four in that school's history since 1980. And that is a proud, tradition-rich program.
Oh, yeah. Great program.
First Final Four since 1980. Zach Edey made that happen. So there's an example of someone who built a legacy. I'm afraid a lot of these other players aren't doing that. And I think they're going to regret it in the long term. We was talking to Stevenson Sylvester, hosted with me yesterday. And he's one player who has benefited from establishing that legacy. He's one of the all-time great football players at Utah football history. And he continues to benefit from the relationships and the community equity that he's built here. He's now us. And I think that's what we truly would like to have out of these college players is they come here and they win and they accomplish great things and then they become an important part of our community. That's the ideal scenario. It's not happening anymore.
And what makes it even tougher is now, on top of fans losing players year after year, they also get told, hey, finance the team. Hey, donate to these collectives.
Yes.
Pay for the teams. You know, it's not good enough that you're paying more at the ticket prices to actually go see these, you know, one-year players. But now, hey, finance the team so you can maybe keep them. I mean, it's a strange dynamic. Like, imagine Jazz fans being asked by Ryan Smith, hey, like, we're going to get through this with your help. We're going to be in the playoffs next year with your help to pay for this roster. That's a strange dynamic.
I need $35 million a year to get LeBron. You can help us do it. Donate to the Utah Jazz Collective today.
That's why I was so receptive to that wild college sports today and football model. Like, bring it on. Like, we need something so crazy and drastic to bring some sort of stability, some consistency to where we do get these greats that become part of our community or just become these heroes at these universities, because it is lacking. Like, I guarantee casual sports fan in Utah doesn't know much about Jackson Robinson. Now, he, to his credit, he's been 2 years at BYU, but three colleges in 4 years, like, that's now the norm. And it's just very strange. There's not this connection to guys because they keep moving. And look, I get it. I mean, some of these families that get the chance to maybe get a seven-figure bag or, you know, more than $500,000, that'd be hard to turn down.
Yeah.
I get it. But at the same time, I just feel like when you bring up the long-term value of someone like Sly, That's 16 years ago, 08 now. And he's still, like, that is a name that registers in this market. And everyone remembers that pose of him in Louisiana down in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, that was a silhouette that's on shirts. Yep. That registers for decades. We're still talking about him. And there may be, I don't know if there's a price tag on that, but you could argue that maybe it's just as valuable sometimes as just getting the one-time bag and playing for a year at a school.
Yeah, it's... I don't have the solutions. Yeah. I'm recognizing some of the challenges, but there's always going to be challenges. But like you, I feel like we have to. We've moved beyond this point of amateur athletics being amateur.
Sure,
that's just not how it works. College athletics are no longer amateur, and we are also to blame because we're watching it on TV. We can't get enough of it. So let's not be naive and let's accept the fact that this is a money-making venture. And let's find better ways to do this than what's currently going on. I think it's great what the players are getting now, but there's got to be balance here to make this work so that it's actually something that has a long sustaining life. Because before long, Mitch, it can lose its value. And money is fleeting. And short term, getting money is nice, but long term, it could hurt overall. I mean, we talked about it yesterday with Sly. It's like, what happens? I don't want to use any names, but you get a quarterback that comes in here and he ends up bombing and he throws like several interceptions and you have a losing season and he's out the door in 6 months. How do you keep going back to the boosters that are paying for the NIL and saying, hey, this is worth it. Keep going, keep investing. They're not getting their money back. What are the consequences of that long term for the players? So there's a lot of different dynamics here. But back to UConn. It's just such a special two-year run, and I don't know that it's getting the proper attention and celebration, and I don't know why. But what we just witnessed is one of the greatest two-year runs of any college football program in the history of college basketball, and it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Even the moment on the TV broadcast, it just felt kind of anticlimactic. Like, Ian Eagle did a great job first Final Four national. He's outstanding. But like, it did kind of feel like maybe even Danny Hurley was just like, we expected it. I don't know. It just felt so kind of anticlimactic. Like, wow, we're witnessing history. This doesn't happen every day. And the dominance that UConn showed, like, they hadn't lost a game. This is what, February 20th? They reeled off 12 straight games this season to close out the year. And only three teams get to say they ended their year with a win, and UConn just rolled through it, man. Yeah. And they won the Big East tournament. They won the NCAA tournament. They made it look easy. It's almost like, how does anyone beat them? Like, no, only one team outside of the Big East in the last 2 years has beat UConn. They have been absolutely dominant, and they've retooled too. They turned to the transfer portal to kind of retool this roster. But, you know, Hurley, to his credit, he's a little bit old school, where he will be very tough in practices. He even admits that. And maybe that old school like approach to building a team and focusing on the character of the player and the parents and sizing that up, maybe that still holds value more than even just simply the NIL and the bag that can come with it.
Yeah, I think it's just an example of where we're at in college sports right now. I think what they did is great, but it's all about stars. It's all about narratives and stories, and people want it. And the women's game had it, the men didn't. And that is the difference. And that's why the women's game had more viewers and more attention than the men's this year.
And you think about that rating, you get 14 mil just basically off probably just people like brands of college. Like, they love the tradition of the Final Four and the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if they had the star power. It'd probably been through the roof. It'd probably been 25 million. I mean, it could have maybe been in that stratosphere, 20 million.
99 out of 100 Americans can't name one player on UConn's roster.
Yeah.
And us people that love it, we can, but that's not what they're trying to reach. They're trying to capture the hearts and minds of Americans, and you're coming a little bit short while the women's game did exactly that. All right, we got to take a break, but before that, it is a Ticket Tuesday. Correct, Jeremy? We are giving away some tickets. Let's do it. Be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE. You can win a pair of tickets to the Utah Jazz versus Houston Rockets game at Delta Center on April 11th. Call right now. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. Jazz tickets against the Rockets on April 11th. We got to take a break here on JJ and Alex. Up next, Bob Casper joins us from Real Golf Radio. It's Masters Week. Let's break it down with Bob next on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
A tradition unlike any other, the 88th edition of the Masters, taking place this week at Augusta National Golf Club, the iconic Augusta National Golf Club. There are 89 players vying for that green jacket and legendary status. One of the great golf, if not the best, golf tournament on the planet. And nobody covers golf and covers the Masters like our next guest, Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio. The great Bob Casper joins us now live. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well. Jeremiah and Mitch, you guys doing good?
Doing well. It's Masters Week. How could we not be?
I know. I get you.
Are you in Augusta right now?
Yes, we are. We've been here since Saturday of last week. We covered the women's Augusta National Amateur, also the drive, chip, and putt, and we're 2 days into Masters Week.
Can you set the stage for us and what it's like there right now? Just as I know you've been there before many times, and it's just such, I mean, it's got to be such a privilege. But for those of us who have not experienced Augusta, can you kind of set the stage for us as we get ready for this tournament this week?
Well, you'll be able to see a lot of it on television, and I'm sure our listeners have seen it years and years and years on TV. But it's amazing. The golf course is phenomenal. It's in perfect shape right now. We talked with Tony Finau this afternoon, and he said it's amazing the way the golf course is. It's a little fast and a little firm, but that's how a lot of the guys, especially the best players, really like it, because then it requires you to hit better shots. But, you know, bright green, contrast of white in the sand bunkers, greens that are really, really fast, a lot of undulation in those greens, also a lot of elevation change in this golf course, which you won't see on television. But it's in the pines. They call them loblolly pines. You'll see pine straw, and it's just an amazing place to be here in Augusta.
And just following up on that, Bob, like what makes the Masters special for you personally? You know, seeing it year after year, I'm curious too. How many Masters have you covered?
We probably covered 18, Brian and I, with Real Golf Radio. We've been credentialed with Augusta National and the Masters for those 18 years. But I've been coming to the Masters for probably about 30, 35 years. My father won the Masters in 1970, and I pinched myself every year when I come back here that I had the ability to come back every year, and my dad won the Masters. It's amazing.
What is the, I guess, the vibe and the feeling right now as you're there about this field? It feels like to me, I mean, you look at it, Scottie Scheffler's got to be the favorite, right? The feel? Does anyone feel like anyone else can give him a run here?
Well, you know, you've got the best players in the world, and all the best players in the world. You've got 13 guys from LIV Golf, and you've got all the best guys on the PGA Tour. Everybody's vying for the opportunity to win the Masters and the green jacket this week, but Scottie Scheffler is undoubtedly the odds-on favorite right now. He is the best ball striker in the game. He is figuring that out as putting, and because he's such a good ball striker, he doesn't have to putt really, really good to win. He only has to putt about average to win. But his last two events that he's played, the last three events he's played, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, he won both those events and then took a week off and played again, and he finished second in Houston, missed about a six-foot putt on the last hole to tie and go into a playoff. So he's played extremely well. He is very grounded with family and friends and his wife, and they're expecting a child here pretty soon. I love Scottie Scheffler, that he has that he's the favorite, and you know, I'm looking towards him getting his second Masters title. But the other guy that I really want to see play well is Rory McIlroy. I would love to see him win and get his career grand slam. That's all he needs is this one. He's on his 10th try of trying to do that. He's won the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the British Open, but it would be cool if he got that, because then he would also join the crowd of five guys that have already won the career grand slam right now. He would be number six. And then, of course, Tony Finau from Utah. He's playing some great golf right now. His last event, he finished second, and he's in a good frame of mind for this week. He said he's got some business to get done this week when we talked to him on Saturday. So I'm looking for Tony to play well as well.
Bob, you noted earlier that the best players in the world with LIV Golf, PGA coming together here at Augusta. First Masters since that merger last year between LIV and PGA. Is that still as big of a talking point now here, now that that's taken place, the merger?
Yeah, well, they're still talking out. They're still talking out the framework agreement and that kind of thing. There was an investment group that came in at SSG that came in and infused $1.5 billion up to $3 billion into the PGA Tour. And now they're still working with the PIF fund to, which is the public investment fund in Saudi Arabia, to come up with another portion of funding, which would allow all the players to come back together. But, it's kind of interesting to see that it hasn't finally finished yet, but they're looking at trying to work that way and get it done. But even if they do agree on something with the Department of Justice and everything like that, it's probably going to take a year before anything happens.
Tiger Woods is at Augusta, which is great to see. And he was asked if what he wants to achieve at the Masters. And he said, quote, "If everything comes together, I think I can get one more." Do you believe him?
Yeah. Well, he's made 23 cuts here at Augusta in a row. He needs to make a 24th to set that record, which I think he will this week. But like he said also, everything needs to come together and be absolutely perfect for him to have a chance. And I think that's a tall task for him, but I wouldn't put it past him. We've all seen Tiger Woods and how he plays, and you know what? He can get that magic going, especially here at Augusta National. He could do it, but he's not one that I would pick.
Tuesday night at the Masters, always the champion's dinner. John Rahm's menu, what does it look like tonight?
Well, he's got tapas, and then he's got a ribeye, and he's got some, it's called turbo, but it's like halibut. But it's all Spanish food from Spain. He's going to let all the people know the foods that he loves. Now, the interesting thing is you can always order off the menu. So they'll have a chicken dish, and they'll also have another steak dish and that kind of thing too. Or maybe even prime rib. But it should be a great champion's dinner meal tonight, and there's a lot of guys looking forward to it.
We'll talk to you again later in the week, but it'll be after action starts on Thursday. So I want to ask you before we let you go, Bob, who are you going to pick? Who's your favorite to win this? Who do you think is going to get it done?
Back in the day when Tiger was playing as well as he was, and he was a favorite every time coming in. I think that Scottie Scheffler is kind of bouncing into that role a little bit. So he's the guy that I'm picking, Scottie Scheffler. My heart says I hope Rory does something, and also Tony Finau. So those are the three that I really, really like. But with the golf course being as firm and as hard as it is right now, we're expecting almost up to 2 inches of rain on Thursday. And if that happens, then that's going to shake everything up for the remainder of the week.
We didn't even think about weather being a factor this week as well. That'll make things interesting for sure. And, of course, we're all pulling for Tony. I love Tony. Knowing Tony, everyone here just wants it so bad for him to happen. Three top 10 finishes since 2018. So hopefully this is his year, but I agree with you, Bob. It's Scottie Scheffler's tournament to lose. So, all right, Bob, we'll have you again on Thursday. Hopefully we're not rained out. Hopefully we do have some golf on Thursday, but we'll wait and see for that. Either way, we'll talk to you Thursday, Bob. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, guys, take care.
Nobody does it better than that. Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio. You can hear him every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. They do a great job. If you're a golf guy, that's your show.
30 plus years and he still pinches himself. That's pretty awesome.
Well, it's
to special. go to Augusta. Pretty awesome.
It's one of those. It's kind of like Lambeau Field. Yeah. Like you think of iconic sports places for different reasons. Obviously, Lambeau Field's not as beautiful as Augusta, but there's just certain places that have a mystique, and Augusta has it. It's the crown jewel of golf, and it's just special in the tradition there. And like our friend Jim Nantz says, it's a tradition unlike any other. The Masters. All right. We've got, we want to qualify you for our giveaway for that driver. It's time. Be caller number 12 right now at 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. You'll be assigned one of the top 26 golfers in the field in the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway from Uinta Golf. If your player wins, your player's brand of driver. And these guys aren't swinging junk. It's going to be a nice prize for you. So good luck to the winner. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. We got to take a break. When we come back, it's time for Would You Rather on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper with you on this Tuesday. Talked in the first segment how bland Tuesdays are. We're going to try to spice it up for you, though. A little would you rather here. And Mitch, first of all, I've got one off the script here. We just talked about in that first segment the fact that the women's national championship had 4 million more viewers than the men's game. If you had a ticket to either one, which one would you have rather had?
The men's Final Four.
I'd go opposite.
I'd go the men's Final Four. Because to me, like, I guess I'm not probably the right person to ask, because that's just that's been bucket list for made for. I mean, to go to a Final Four would be kind of a dream deal to see that. That's kind of one of my hopes one day, to cover something like that as a Final Four. But yeah, I would rather go to a final men's Final Four, because, you know, I follow college basketball and they're big names to me. So I would rather go to the men's.
Bucket list item for me to go to the men's Final Four too, Mitch. And I'm telling you, this year I would have rather gone to the women's Final Four. That was history. That was historic. The chance to go watch Caitlin Clark play, to see the intensity of the competition there with all the names and everything. I loved it. I loved the women's tournament this year. I was all in on it. Last year I had a chance to go to South Carolina to cover the Utah women in that tournament when they played LSU, who eventually won the national championship. And that was I really enjoyed that experience. And watching it this year too, it's like, these are great players, great coaches, big names, big stars, all these narratives and all the drama. This is awesome storylines, which is what I love about sports, is the stories. We tune in to sports the same reason we tune in to a drama on TV or a comedy or a movie or whatever, to see a story. So tell us a story. Yeah. And that's exactly what the women's tournament did this year. The men's story was a story. It just wasn't as compelling. UConn being dominant with a roster of guys who you might never heard of was not as interesting as Caitlin Clark versus the world. That was fun. And watching Caitlin drop 30 in that title game, but watching the greatness of South Carolina, I really enjoyed that as a viewer. And as somebody who loves sports, I didn't have a dog in the fight. So when you don't have a dog in the fight and you just love competition and you love watching great sporting events, the women's delivered for me at a higher level than the men did this year.
That's fair. And I think one thing I do always, I wish the men would go back to this like the women's do, playing a basketball arena.
Yeah.
Some of those pictures from the Final Four in the men's, it does look like you're looking at a court of ants. How some of the pictures you see from the very top row, Like, I would have to get a premium seat to get to go to the men's Final Four. That would be maybe my caveat. If it's upper deck, I'm switching my pick to the women's side.
I covered the Sweet 16 in 2015. Was the year when the Utes went to Houston?
They faced Duke, right?
They did play Duke, who was the eventual national champion. That Utah team was very, very good. And if it would have been a different drawn matchup, I think that team was Elite Eight good.
Yeah.
But they faced Duke in the semifinal, whatever, in the regional semifinal there. So I bring this up because it was in the football stadium for the Sweet 16. And it was a joke. I mean, they have the risers so they can put the court up there, and the sight lines are terrible, and there's just this vastness behind the baskets. I don't know how you shoot in those arenas. Sure enough, Utes shot 10% below their season average in that stadium, and the Duke wasn't much better. They just had the better athletes and were able to make better plays because they had better athletes. And what are we doing? Why don't you just raise the price of the ticket? Which is exactly what happened with the women's game. They were $2,000 a piece, but it was in an NBA arena in Cleveland. You're having a better basketball experience there. I'm sorry. The NCAA was just doing a money grab with putting these things in football stadiums. I agree with you. Stop doing it.
And the thing is how big of a money grab really is it? It just goes to all these coaches from all these teams, the corporate sponsors. Like,
I know.
How much is really the common fan actually paying to go to that? They're probably not paying much at all.
And it's not better for the game. You're not seeing a better product, which hurts the game in the future because you want to have compelling games. You saw that with the women's tournament. You didn't see that quite with the men's.
I just hate football stadiums for basketball. That's my only thing.
Agree 100%. That was quite a tangent on a would you rather, but real quick Augusta one. Real quick Masters one. Open invite to play Pebble Beach or Augusta anytime. Which one?
Augusta. No question.
Agree.
Pebble Beach, you could go there.
Yeah.
It's just us casuals. We could go to the resort. We could pay the thousands of dollars, but we could play that.
Yeah.
Augusta, even the top of the line, you know, celebrities, owners, CEOs, they might not even be able to play Augusta. If you had a real chance to play Augusta, you gotta pounce on that. There's no question.
Agreed. We agree on that. All right, don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you could win tickets to see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 3rd, 2024. We have to take a break on JJ and Alex. Up next, are the Arizona Coyotes one step closer to moving to Utah? We have an update on that situation, which is very exciting, next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.